It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
May, shotgun, two receivers each side, one back, Gibson. Here's the snap to May. He's in trouble. He's sacked back at the 30-yard line. Will Anderson Jr., hat trick.
Is that the hat trick?
Yes, it is. Three on the day for Will.
I love that on the, because on the TV broadcast you hear, I just wanted to make sure that with Andre Ware, Mark Vandermeer on the Texans broadcast, that you could also hear Will Anderson yelling, three, that's three.
Three fingers up.
Third sack, yeah. Career high for Will Anderson on the day. Man, what an extravagant showing. And you could tell he really wanted it, really needed it. Mm-hmm. Let's get into who hooped on a Texans victory reaction Monday. Here in the loop. And I mean, why not start with the man who had a fantastic, incredible showing when it comes down to it? Will Anderson Jr. Got home in a way that this defensive line had not felt like they had got, especially the edges had not gotten home quite. They'd applied pressure, but he got home in a big way. Three of them things, hitting three times Drake May and putting him on the ground.
I actually thought of Andy Kalou on that third sack.
I did as well. I texted you.
Yeah.
You didn't respond back. But I did text you.
Did you text me?
Mm-hmm. Unless y'all didn't block. Did y'all block my number?
Or maybe it's your...
Both you and Fig blocked my number. I done already gotten blocked.
I feel like
2 months in.
Hey, I feel like you gave out my number for some reason. I keep getting these political text messages.
What me?
Saying, hey, Reginald.
What me?
Hey, did you decide who you voting for?
When me?
I'm like, why y'all keep calling me Reginald, man?
Yeah.
When me?
Yeah.
That's why. I ain't blocky, man.
I didn't get that text.
Okay.
I think it's your stupid iPhone. Anyway.
I don't have an iPhone.
I know. Y'all on the same
what are you
team.
Talking about?
Oh, well, then maybe I just missed it. Anyway, did you press send?
Are you really? You're going to make this about? I messed up.
Okay. Some blame.
All right. Okay. You just lashing out. I see it.
Okay. So, Andy Kalou. They come in bunches.
Correct.
They come in bunches.
Yeah.
It's not. Well, now, we did acknowledge they're getting a lot of pressure.
Yes.
Just not a lot of sacks. But they did. They sure did come in bunches. He absolutely hooped. I'm going to give a hoo hoop to.
Wait. We can't just skip by that. We got to make sure that we fully luxuriate in what the Will Anderson Jr. situation was. And of course, as I say that, I lost the statistic that I wanted to give,
give it
in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But Will Anderson Jr., only player in the NFL this season to record at least 5 tackles, 3 sacks, 4 TFLs, and 1 pass defense in a game.
Yeah. And that was a courtesy of our guy, B. Scott, right?
Yeah. And
That uncovered that. And just, absolutely ridiculous numbers for him in this game. And if you look at the individual stats, they certainly... they certainly play that out as well, bear that out as well. Just what if they unlock it? Like I said during passing thoughts, what if he and Danielle Hunter just
added a sack himself?
Who added a sack?
In fact, that was the strip sack that looked like the biggest play of the game to our eyes.
What if this is the game that kind of unlocks the secret? They've reached that comfort level. They're comfortable with how they're playing. They're on the they're in their game. They're comfortable. This could be just incredible. And then as an add-on to that, what if part of unlocking it is more turnovers?
I don't know if it fully unlocked it necessarily, right? I do understand and appreciate what you're doing there.
Mm-hmm.
But you listen to Will Anderson Jr. tell it, and he's like, the goal has just been like carry water, chop wood, right?
Yeah.
And Danielle Hunter has been a big thing in that regard. I might circle back around and play that audio. But he's basically just talked about the idea that, hey, just keep doing it and the results will come in the same way that ND talked about, right?
Mm-hmm.
They just keep being around the quarterback and then these things come in bunches. I think that's been the main thing for them. And maybe this continues to like solidify it for Will in particular.
Yeah.
Obviously, Danielle is a veteran. Will is a little bit newer in this. That, hey, you keep doing the same thing. You keep operating in that way. And then when you come back on the other end, those results will show up. So maybe that'll just allow them to keep staying in that space. But I don't know that it's going to be like, hey, this has now shifted the way that this thing goes.
Well, and then there's that, that whole thing that sort of takes you by surprise. You know, don't look now, but Will Anderson is only 2 sacks behind the league lead, which was Aiden Hutchinson, and he's not going to be playing for a while. So he's only 2 sacks behind.
Defense player of the year is what you're saying?
Yeah. He's
all right, Will Anderson, defense player of the year. Let's do it.
Hold on. Only 2 sacks behind the league lead in sacks and tied for the league lead in tackles for loss.
Okay, so MVP then. All right, Will Anderson Jr., Will MVP. Let's do it.
Defensive MVP. All right, so who hooped? D'Angelo Ross, man.
Oh, wow. This is where you're going?
Well, the obvious ones we're going to get to. This is a not-so-obvious one. Second highest PFF grade of anybody in the Texans secondary.
Okay.
Behind Derek Stingley. Played every snap. The only defensive player that played every snap. We were worried. We got to give it to him.
I was.
We got to give it to him. We were worried.
I was worried. I don't know if I was going to go to the degree of hooped.
You didn't. How many times did they call his name?
They didn't.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah, it's a good
thing. That's a good thing. Your cornerback opposite Derek Stingley, who was going to be attacked, by the way, by a quarterback that was playing pretty dang well, considering they were losing by 20.
Sure, on that curve. I think that, yeah, you were probably looking at more of those slot. I think they were looking more towards the slot for their looks.
Nevertheless.
But okay, fair enough.
And the other part of it is, like, I still think they need to go make a move and bolster their secondary. If you're going to be a contending team for the Super Bowl, you got to check all the boxes. But you got to give it to him.
Person number two. You went D'Angelo Ross. Okay, yeah. Fair enough. Touche.
Yeah. Because I know, like, there's going to be some obvious ones.
All right.
Yeah.
One of the obvious ones, I guess, in the course of this game, but maybe not in the course of, like, the way that we talked about this team, mm-hmm. Mario Edwards Jr. was everywhere. And when I say everywhere, I do indeed mean
everywhere.
Like, offensive line-wise, mm-hmm. He was one of those guys that made it evident, that's papier-mâché,
yeah.
Papier-mâché offensive line. He was knifing through that thing, mm-hmm. like, run-stopping, getting in there. Rallying to the football. Mario Edwards looked incredible in this game.
And it's going to be very interesting to see how they play out the rotation on the interior defensive line.
Yep, because Danico Autry has now served fully his suspension, rather, mm-hmm. so he should be eligible to return from what's happening
Not
here.
Not like Fadakasi's been a chump.
Nope.
But you got to play Mario. Like D'Amico Ryan's in that meeting with his coaches, which I believe happens on Mondays.
I imagine so.
Yeah, you know, he's going to be in that meeting saying, all right, how are we going to keep Mario in the rotation? Rio, how are we going to keep him around? Because he's making plays.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. I think it's technically your turn, but I'll take another spot. You took a sip. I want to give a shout out to Bobby Slowick.
Yeah.
I think Bobby Slowick hooped. I think that they spread the ball out pretty well. But then also, I think we mentioned it a few times. It feels like when it comes to, like, the run blocking of this, they blocked in a way that was mm-hmm. that was advantageous. It felt like they utilized and implemented some mixtures of kind of gap scheme stuff, mm-hmm. some trap stuff that it feels like has worked very well. And I think I mentioned this to you maybe off air last week that I was mm-hmm. like, oh, I kind of like what's happening here with some of the trap concepts inside. But it seems like they utilize all those things to a very good degree. Again, I understand people will continue to put up that it's not a great team you're going up against. But we had seen some of the kind of fundamental mm-hmm. ways that they were going about things that felt like they weren't super conducive to success.
Yeah.
They found that success in this one. And so as much as Bobby's name has come up in a negative connotation, I want to make sure that it comes up in a positive.
No, and it absolutely should. We talked about Bobby making it work. And in fact, one of the obvious ones, actually two of the obvious ones that I was going to mention, ties directly in with Bobby Slowick, and that's Steph and Tank Dell. I mean, those two guys did.
I thought you were going to say Laramie Tunsil, who, I mean, I know that he ended up on the sideline with the ankle injury where he got rolled up, and I know that he probably was not done any benefits by the broadcast crew saying that he was relaxing on the sideline. But
he's got house shoes on.
Somebody was like, did this offensive line get better when Laramie Tunsil went out? And I was like, he has not been. He wasn't penalized at all that game. No. Like, the offensive line did a pretty good job keeping all this stuff clean. Also, for the most part.
But Steph and Tank, man, Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell. It ties in with Bobby getting them more involved, making them not miss. You know, Nico Collins as much. They didn't. They had two very, very good games. 13 catches combined, I believe. Something like that.
13 catches combined. Yeah. That is correct. Good memory.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those tough catches. And then it really seemed like they worked the middle of the field pretty extensively. Both of those guys, yeah. Stephon and Tank.
And not always easy catches.
Agreed.
Like, they were going to the ground on some of these. And they were making snagging the ball in traffic in some of these. So, yeah, you got to give it to Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell.
I just want to make sure to bring up Danielle Hunter one more time. And I think the reason why I put him here was not just the fact that he got a sack, not just the fact that he got what was probably the biggest play when you needed to kind of shift the way this thing was going, make sure that you put New England at a distance instead of the 14-7 score that they were mm-hmm. at, is that Will Anderson Jr., and I actually do want to go to the audio here now, cut one here from Will Anderson Jr. on what having Danielle Hunter opposite him, what mm-hmm. it means to him, because I doubt for me this was kind
huge.
Of the biggest thing. Oh, my bad. Did you got it?
Man, Danelle is such a blessing to have on this team and having this D-line group, man. He's taught me so much, and every time I see him, I give him a big hug. Like, I don't have any brothers, so, like, all of these guys that have been in this group, like, I look at them as my big brothers, and I get on their nerves, and I say, Danelle, bro, I thank you so much because I've learned so much from him, and he just kept me composed. He kept me grounded this last 2 weeks. Like, bro, it's coming. Just keep chopping, like, keep getting better, man. And he kept me on edge, like, hey, don't get lax. When you get lax, you start getting sacks a little bit. Your body starts to wind down a little bit. Keep going, and he helped me out a lot today.
First of all, Will Anderson is so good, in any context.
You hear the excitement.
Interviewing, just as a dude, he just seems like a great dude. Of course, as a player, and I'm wondering if there's anybody, any guy I see that every time I see him, I just hug him, like Will Anderson hugs Danielle Hunter every time. But you absolutely need to go back and give a lot of that to Danielle Hunter, no question.
I do feel like Jalen Petrie was hitting hard. Jalen Petrie was hitting real hard in this game.
He was hitting very, very hard. Had his moments, man. I mean, definitely had his moments. Hooped.
We're getting to had a nice game territory. Yeah,
okay. So let me talk about hoop then, because it's practically criminal that we haven't mentioned Joe Mixon yet.
Sure. Fair.
Practically criminal because Joe Mixon probably hooped better than anybody out there. If you're talking about just the whole, you know, again, I think I've used this word three times in this segment, the context of what you had to do, yesterday, Joe Mixon got on the field and just flat out hooped.
Yeah, man,
the
running game just looked different. And the thing that hit me, as there's a lot of different things that could have hit an individual watching the game, was just, oh, he's so fast. Once he makes the decision,
the burst,
need to hit this hole, he's gone, right? Yeah. And then also the ways in which once he gets into the open field, and it felt like he was getting his knees up real high. I don't know if that means anything, but it was just fun to watch because, and I think that's really the thing for me, is that watching Joe Mixon is inherently fun. There's something about football. I know that we've gone to throwing the football a whole bunch, but there's something that you cannot replicate in seeing a dude just torch somebody on the ground.
Yes.
And Joe Mixon has that quality in space.
That was defensive backs he was running away from, man.
Yeah,
I mean, not only did he get shot through a cannon, like Mike Vandermeer said, I like that cut. I like that play-by-play. But once he got into space, it was like, oh, I'm going to go ahead and stretch it a little bit here. And, of course, they had the angle and knocked him out. But that was enormous. And the other ones that I thought hooped, I was giving Neville Hewitt some love here just because he's the tackling machine and all that stuff, and damn near led the team in tackles even though he came in late. But I'm going to stretch it to that middle linebacker position because Al-Shaair was doing his thing as well. He got hurt. Neville Hewitt came in and flat out made, I think, back-to-back plays.
Yeah.
Had the tackle. And ended up with 8 tackles despite playing. I don't have the snap counts in front of me, but he didn't have a lot of snap counts. And so to be able to go deep at middle linebacker like that with a guy that we really just consider a special teams guy at this point, he came in and played.
59% of the snaps for him, 39 snaps, Neville Hewitt. And, yeah, you mentioned he came in, he played. Now, I wonder how much of that was like, you know, once it was, I guess, for lack of a better term, garbage time.
Yeah.
But the idea that he stepped in, and I guess he was benefited from the idea, the concept of not being a super high-throwing football game where you needed to do a lot of coverage. You could kind of be more of a hitter, a tackler, and that definitely fits Neville Hewitt's his strengths and his capabilities. But he did that to a high degree, especially in Aziz's stead when he was dealing with the knee. I guess that's something that I'm super looking forward to once D'Amico speaks to the assembled media later today. So I want to watch that. But no, a very good game in the course of this. I don't want to say hooped in the course of this, but I just shout out to Blake Fisher again coming in and not having a significant drop off this time on left tackle when Laremy Tunsil goes out. I feel good about him, man. Mm-hmm. I think we're getting to a place where that swing tackle, you feel good about him, and in the future when he eventually is going to take over one of these tackle roles, I am excited to see what that ultimately looks like.
Well, especially when you consider, what his first real action, so to speak, at tackle looked like, and then what it looked like yesterday, like the amount of advancement that Blake Fisher has had Because he didn't look good in his first outing when he had to step in at tackle.
No, he did not.
And now, you don't really notice it. So, absolutely, I agree with you.
Yeah, shout out to the 281 who said Jalen got beat several times. Yes, he did. Especially,
That's what I'm saying. Like, hoops.
He got caught flat-footed in, like, cover zero,
but
which
he made
was
some
tough.
Tackles.
But the big thing that I just wanted to highlight the fact that he was hitting hard.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that, because it was something that was visceral for me. There's some things that in that segment I kind of try and harken back to what were those visceral moments, and hearing the pop of pads when Jalen was hitting some of those times did it for me. All right, that's some of who hooped here in the Loop Sports Radio 610 after a 41-21 victory on the road in New England, the first of the sort for the Texans in franchise history. Coming up next, let's get into our lunchtime confessions, and it seems like my apparel is part of this as well.
Yeah, I'll get to that. It's been gnawing at me all morning long.
Gnawing
at me.
All right. Yeah. We'll do that next.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions.
All right, so I got to call an audible on what was going to be my first confession here.
Nobody would have known.
Except for me saying it. So the audible, I mean, the confession was going to be... I don't understand why the Basketball Hall of Fame induction aired on an NFL
and I stole
Sunday.
That from you.
But we talked about it. Yeah. We both talked about it. So the audible is this. Kill, kill, kill. We're going to this, Figgy. It's been killing me all morning long. We're into the afternoon. But I'm not sure if Reggie Attitude, and you can see it on Twitch and YouTube if you're watching. I'm not sure if his shirt is really pink. It's pink right now, but it's a light pink.
Yes.
And it's killing me. Was that originally a white shirt?
Oh, you think I don't know how to do laundry?
Oh, man.
He think I don't know how to do laundry.
That originally a white shirt? Because that's the color that it comes out. Like when you
put a red sock in there or something.
If you put something red.
Does that still happen to this day?
Okay. Yes.
I've literally never had whites do that.
Especially with a new shirt. And I've done it. I'm not immune to this. We've all done it at some point in our lives.
I literally have never.
Really?
Yeah.
But
I always wonder, like, is that just something that's kind of fading away?
No, it happens.
Okay, because you know, like
if
obviously,
you put it, like if Figgy's shirt, who's wearing a red shirt, and you put it in with this white shirt, and this white shirt was new, it would come out that exact color.
Yeah, I feel like that only happens if you got like a sock with a pinch of red on there, and you didn't realize it was a pinch of red on that sock, and the whole shirt come out pink.
That's interesting, because I was always wondering if maybe we have gotten far enough with our clothes watching technology that maybe we've
especially new stuff.
To answer your question without answering your questions directly, from what you know about me and my kind of general dressing habits, not that I'm some level of fashionista or anything.
Yeah,
looking at my shoes.
Oh, okay. Well, that still doesn't mean that shirt wasn't originally white.
It's pink.
I feel like pink. Lopez have a problem with you wearing pink.
No, hell no.
I wear pink. I feel like that's what it is.
No, he just wanted to see if I knew how to wash clothes.
Is that wrong with a pink shirt?
No, I wear pink shirts. I mean, not here. I don't have a pink fishing shirt, but I would wear one. Okay.
Why don't you have a pink fishing shirt? I feel like in your closet you have the widest array of clothes that you possibly
every
could.
Every color fishing shirt you
except
could possibly imagine.
Okay. Right.
But I'm not anti-pink shirt. I was just like, it was killing me. I was like, I wonder if that was white originally.
It was not.
I feel like Reggie didn't mean to have a pink shirt like that.
I didn't.
He had to make a mistake.
Nope. Watch this. Obviously, Texans win 41-21. And during the course of this, I thought I saw somebody speaking directly to John P. Lopez. And his name is Tommy Townsend. He had an instance where he had a booming 65-yard punt that looked like it was going to go forever. Mm-hmm. And I think that was in direct response to kind of the media speculation in general, but particularly John Lopez's, yo, why can't this dude punt? He was like, oh, I can't punt. All right, watch this.
No Cameron Johnston.
To be fair to Lopez in this instance, he did outkick his coverage on that one.
Yeah,
outkicked the coverage.
Yeah.
And then ultimately that led to a bit, because he kicked it, like the actual punt itself was probably a good 70 yards.
Yeah.
Right? Because he caught got the ball on the goal line, mm-hmm. and I think that ended up actually probably longer than 70 yards, maybe like 75. Like
yeah, something
the,
like
the
that.
Punt itself was really big, mm-hmm. but the coverage couldn't get down there, and so there was a nice little return there. But yeah, I thought Tommy Townsend was like, "Oh, I can't punt? Okay, all right."
I'm not this. Hating on Tommy Townsend. What I was talking about earlier is he scares me a little bit. I don't think the consistency is there.
No, you're right. Like, yeah. I honestly, yeah. kind of, not mm-hmm. tongue-in-cheek because I mean that, but, yeah. like, he did seem to, like, really uncork it in that moment, mm-hmm. outkicked his coverage, but he has had instances where he's kind of just,
yeah.
you know, scuffed a punt and given advantageous field position to the other team. And that's one thing about punting. The whole idea is the field position battle.
Yeah.
And he's had it multiple times where he hasn't given you a good clean kick. So, yeah. Especially for the experience that he's supposed to bring to this. I get what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Watch this. These
are my confessions. So I'm officially a homeowner.
Hey! Man, that's so awesome. That is so awesome.
We closed on Friday, and we've been back and forth at the house all weekend pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll probably be back out there after the show. But I don't want to say I'm nervous now, but I think I'm more on alert now. Mm-hmm. Because it seemed like once we signed these papers.
All the bad things gonna pop up?
It seemed like everything. I started seeing the real neighborhood now.
Yeah. Ah, okay. Oh, okay. I thought you were worried about the house. Outlet actually don't work. And it's actually flooding over here.
I did come across a few things. I'm like, dog, I should have said something. I missed this. But it's funny just being out in that little neighborhood. So I'm in the Galena Park area.
Mm-hmm. What's the address?
I ain't doing all that. Well, I'm in the Galena Park area.
Yeah, let's go to Zillow.
And as I was riding to the hardware store to pick up something, I'm like, you know what? I have no idea what area I moved into. Let me start Googling.
Yeah.
Let me look up the history of this area.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of learned a lot. But anyway, just being on my street now, I felt like I started seeing all type of weird stuff now. Like I heard a rooster a couple houses down.
From, excellent.
I'm like, what in the hell is that? I'm like, is that a rooster?
Yes, it is.
And then I told y'all about the goat and the sheep that's right across the street right. from me. Now I'm like, oh, I didn't know that I was
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
And they actually right across the street.
Downright agricultural around here. Okay. Next,
you're a farmer is what I'm hearing.
Next to the barking dog.
Farmer Fig.
Farmer Figgy.
Yeah. But the one thing, my welcome to the neighborhood thing was I was at the car. And I saw somebody pull out their driveway driving. I ain't really think nothing of it.
Mm-hmm.
This car slowed down, rolled down the window. I'm talking about like Snoop Dogg style on Baby Boy. So I'm looking like, what's going on? And all I hear is, hey, neighbor. So I'm looking like.
You about to have a good time.
You're a neighbor now.
Yeah. You're going to have a good time.
You're a neighbor now. Yeah,
but I got to confess, I kind of like that type of stuff because you can kind of see the people around.
Yeah.
That's just walking outside just to kind of be nosy a little bit.
They're looking.
Yeah, trying to see what's going on.
Yeah.
The neighbor next door to me was like, hey, are you looking? So we was there Thursday before the closing.
Yeah.
Just to kind of final walkthrough. Like, hey, are you liking the house? Like, you trying to get some information, man.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm like, we actually closed tomorrow.
A lot of nosy neighbors, man.
But that also seems like the type of neighbors that, you know, that keep you involved and stuff. And like, hey, we're having a party come through and that type of stuff.
Yeah. It's better than like the.
I kind of like it, man.
Yeah.
Even the people across the street, you can kind of, as soon as they hear a car door. You see somebody
coming out,
walking outside.
No, come talk good. To you about what's happening.
Yeah. That's good though. It's like I said, better than the alternative.
Yeah. Watch this.
These are my confessions. Not for the reasons that you might think, but I hope the Titans never bench Will Levis. Ever. Like ever. It's not because he stinks and the Texans benefit. No. It's because he is wildly entertaining.
He's
like it is an adventure every time Will Levis plays a game.
It may not be good, but it is unexpected. It is interesting is the word that I'll use.
He might throw the ball backwards. He might throw, you know, fumble weirdly. He might
fall to his knees.
Fall to his knees and look a fool. Or he might just snap a ball boy's leg in half. Which he may well have done.
Yeah. Shout out to the game assistant on the sideline. I think they had to air cast him and put him on a cart.
He got stretchered out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm not going to laugh about that necessarily, but yeah, he's doing all sorts of stuff, Will Levis.
No, shout out to the ball boy and prayers up, you know, and all that.
Blessings.
But blessings. We're all pulling for you.
Thoughts and praise.
Salute. It is slapstick comedy when Will Levis plays a football.
Slapstick is a great way of putting it.
Yeah, I think Jason Kelce said it the best. I think it was on the Monday Night Football pre-show or something.
Yeah.
He said, Will Levis is the most exciting player, quarterback in the league.
Yes.
And everybody got quiet. I'm like, you never know what's going to happen.
Exactly. I hope they never bench him.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
I know that I am the jerk in this, and you already detail Figgy how, you know, can kind of be a grammar English nerd and dork at times, and I'm going to acknowledge that up front. However, I am always annoyed by hook and ladder. Where's the ladder?
Hook and lateral.
It's a hook and lateral.
Yeah.
Right? Where's the ladder?
Oh, God.
Where's the ladder in this, though?
But you know what? I'm with you on that.
Where's the ladder, though?
In spirit, I'm with you on that. But I think back in the old days, they shortened it to ladder for lateral.
Oh, and look, I understand. It's easy. It rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
I'm never going to say it to anybody like in the actual run of things. Mm-hmm. It is because we have a segment that allows me to get things off my chest.
Yes.
And so I thought this was a safe space, Fig. Yeah. But yes, hook and ladder actually deeply annoys me. But at least I think that I've grown to the point in my my grammar annoyances that I keep them to myself, except in confessions.
There's several of those.
People like y'all drive me crazy. And I'm putting my wife into it too. Man. She do the same thing, man. Like, she get on me the other day because sometimes when you talking fast, you might mispronounce something.
Yeah.
Like me, it's Halloween right around the corner. Sometimes she accused me of saying pumpkin.
Yeah.
Like
with an N.
Yeah.
Pumpkin chunkin'.
Yeah. So she be like, wait, what you say? Like, she don't understand what I'm like, you know what I'm saying.
Right.
So she randomly saying, what's that thing that they decorate around Halloween?
Oh,
she set you up to laugh at you. That's crazy.
Yeah. I'm just like, come on. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You don't need to correct that. I know exactly what it is. I know how to spell it.
But she would like it if you called her pumpkin. Hey, pumpkin.
Nah, that's a little cheesy.
Watch this. My
speaking of her,
mm-hmm.
So I realized something, and I don't know, maybe y'all could take my man card away, but I feel like in our relationship, I just realized this, that she's the DIY person, and I'm the, hey, let's just call somebody to do it person.
Mm. Oh, that's fine.
Is that cool? Okay.
Yeah. No, it takes all kinds, man.
Yeah, she want to do everything herself, or she want to do everything, like, for us to actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm over here like, man, we can find somebody to fix this bleep.
Big facts.
Like, why we got to do it? We could just pay somebody to do it.
If somebody's taking your man car, mine is going too, because I'm very much in that vein. Like, hey, man, somebody, why would I do this as an amateur when somebody does this as a profession?
You know
right?
what?
Yeah.
What a game changer is, though?
What?
YouTube. When you go on YouTube, you can find ways, easy ways, less expensive ways, even if you're not a do-it-yourselfer, to fix some stuff anyway.
Yeah. Now, I did that this week. Ashley, shout out to YouTube. They helped me put together a boat lock.
Yeah.
So I got like a digital boat lock with a fingerprint and all that stuff on it.
Yeah.
And the code, and I just watched the YouTube.
No,
video,
it's
and they
a
helped
changer.
Me put it together.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, I was debating on hiring somebody to put that together.
There
so
you go.
I need that, but
shared knowledge, man.
Yeah. The other stuff, as far as like sawing some stuff and all that, man, hire somebody to do that, man. Like, let's help the community out and pay somebody to do this.
That's
why
right.
Do I have to
let's
do
spread
it?
The wealth. Like, that's
I
right.
Got, I got other stuff to do and to focus on.
It's because Fig really likes helping small businesses. Really, what is it's
there
not because
go.
He doesn't want to do things.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
Yeah.
I got one more real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Watch this.
I think Kevin Harlan was doing a bit.
On what?
I know y'all was listening to this broadcast when he kept saying Kaimi's name. Now, how do you say Kaimi's name?
Fairbairn.
My man was like, Fairbairn. In fact, at one point, he stretched it out to Fairbairn, and I was like, all right, you doing a bit now.
Yeah, yeah.
Ain't no way. You know how to say these dudes' names.
Fairbairn.
Yeah, I was like, come on. Come on. Like, I was like, he was trying to make, and then also, I think it was Uche, he made into like Uche. And I'm like, you got to be doing a bit here, Harlan. I know that you got the pronunciation guide and you talked to somebody in the team to find out how to pronounce their names. But still, had a blast with Harlan on the broadcast.
I thought he made a mistake the first time. And then I was like, no, he's really doing that.
Fairbairn.
Yeah. Fairbairn.
Shout out to Kaimi Fairbairn. And those are our lunchtime confessions here in the loop on Sports Radio 610 after a 41-21 Texans victory, moving to 5-1. First victory at Gillette Stadium for your Texans. And somebody said, Lopez, please snatch Figgy's man card. Too late. We've already moved past it. And what have we moved past it to? Let's go around the AFC South and see just how miserable the rest of these teams are. We'll do that next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you are in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 after a 41-21 victory for your Texans versus the Patriots. That could have been heard right here on Sports Radio 610. And now it's a Reaction Monday. Now we, thanks to Shoppers John Deere for helping us get to that. But, The 5-1 record that your Texans now hold is obviously clear in the AFC South. Clear by two games, in fact.
Oh, it's a wrap.
It feels like that. Is going to that one's definitely going to hold up. Obviously, the big victory helped make sure that the Texans are in the plus. They are in the black or in the green, depending on what you're looking at when it comes down to point differential, +8. So it's not flashy.
It took 41 points to do that.
We're back in the right situation here moving forward. So shout out to the Texans. But the rest of the AFC South, well, we got to talk about what they were on this weekend. And so as always, around the AFC South is a choose your own adventure experience. Where are we going?
I'm going to the one that is really, I feel, almost undersold, under talked about, whatever you want to say, even though it is talked about a lot. And that is Jacksonville.
All right, the Jacksonville Jaguars are handling their little residency in London as they want to do this time of year. 1-5, getting their first win. Getting their first loss. Destroyed. Getting another loss of the season. Mm-hmm. That is me not clearing up my document in the way that should. But yes, they get a loss, 35-16 in London versus a surging Chicago Bears team. It looks like a quarterback of that Bears team. Caleb Williams, it might be happy to have gotten him when you did.
Yeah, but he and Drake May both. I think the Texans schedule makers did them a favor with both those young quarterbacks. Here's where I am with Jacksonville at this point. And of course, this doesn't break my heart in the least bit. I'm very, very much appreciating this. But I feel like Jacksonville and Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence, as much as they are talked about, if it weren't, I mean, they're like Deshaun Watson and Browns light. Like, they're bad.
It feels weird to put Deshaun Watson on Trevor Lawrence.
But again, take away the off the field stuff. And
on the field, he's been better than Deshaun Watson.
But I'm saying like light. Like, they're bad.
All right. I will, you know what? I did not account for that light that you threw in there.
I would say light as far as like, you have no other option.
But
because you can't really bench Trevor Lawrence.
That's my point, Figgy. Exactly. Thank you. Because you're paying this dude a bleep ton of money, and he ain't it.
He just got paid.
And he ain't it. Much like Deshaun Watson. Again, Deshaun Watson and Browns light. He doesn't have the controversy that's hovering over him, which almost makes it worse. It's like he's in his own head. There's not other stuff in his head. He's in his own head. And then you have the head coach. Like, just, you know, just not getting it done.
Yeah, he was asked your favorite phrase, if they're in a must-win situation for the rest of the year, and he's like, yep, it's definitely in that situation.
Yeah, and then there's, I forget who said it, but one of the Jacksonville players said there's a lot of quit. They're quitting.
Yeah.
This is a horrible, horrible situation in Jacksonville. Doesn't break my heart.
No. The only highlight really of the game was Andre Sisco's safety. I mean, one who is, I guess, admirable in some ways, recorded the team's first interception of the season.
I mean,
and outside of that, it was an abysmal showing from the Jacksonville Jaguars secondary. They are real gettable. And we talked about how Trevor Lawrence had not played well, but drops also affected him. Mm-hmm. Fordham, notably, two Gabe Davis, one by our guy Ocho's favorite player, Brian Thomas Jr., and then also Christian Kirk added one. And so all the is that not the brain trust of folks that you depend on wide receiver-wise? They also can't pick up the quarterback in what they're doing.
Actually, it was Andre Sisco. I just looked it up. He was asked, was it as bad as it looked? Quote, quote, how should I say this? A lot of quit.
That's real nasty work, man.
It's a mess.
That's real. Now you begin to ask yourself, will the court or the coach make it back to the States?
Yeah.
Because they will face off against your opponent from this week, the New England Patriots, next week. So, yeah, man, maybe that gives him an opportunity to try and bounce back. However, as we mentioned, Drake May didn't look terrible. I think that team still altogether is not really well built to go and compete in any real way this season.
Yeah.
But he looked feisty. And so maybe just, especially with how poorly that Jacksonville Jaguars secondary played.
I liked what I saw from him. I think they're onto something.
Though. I did as well, but I also have to very much acknowledge that is grading on a curve that is like, all right, but all things considered. Like, he looked like he was in hell. I know Sean got a real kick out of the fact that on his first scramble, Drake May, once he got out of the pocket, once he got beyond the line of scrimmage, he had that ball tucked. He looked like a fullback hitting a fullback dive. Like, he literally had that ball tucked two hands, right? Another thing that you could point to, Evan Engram returned from a four-week hamstring injury, caught 10 passes for 102, but he also fumbled. Yeah. On a 24-yard catch and run. So, like, even that had a dent in that one. So, and that also led to a Chicago touchdown. So, yeah, that real tough goings for the Jaguars. And as I said, their next game is New England in London at 8:30 a.m. Central on Sunday.
Oh, they're a mess. So,
yeah.
I think they might be the worst team in the division.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Saying something.
That is interesting. Well, maybe. We'll see. All right, let's continue around the AFC South. It's going to be pretty easy because both these teams played each other, but where are we going?
I want to look at the Titans.
All right, the Titans get in their first division game, get their first division loss. They fall to the Colts 20-17. Will Levis looked miserable again, threw for only 93 yards, a touchdown and an interception against a Colts team that came into the game 29th in the league in pass yards allowed, and he only threw for 93 of them. Right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes, right.
Like, you mentioned earlier, obviously not a laughing matter by any means. He also
took out a ball boy or whomever that was.
Yeah, took out a sideline assistant. Yeah. I guess we could call them a ball boy as well, although he looked like he was mature enough that I feel weird calling him a boy of any sorts.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man had to get an air cast. They carted him off the field, so that was tough. And, yes, in another way, the Will Levis just miserable in this one. Although Tony Pollard ran the ball fairly well, 93 yards on five and a half yards a pop with a touchdown. And obviously he got some of that burn because Tyjae Spears left the game in the first half with a hamstring injury. So that's going to affect them even further when it comes to their running back depth, the Titans. But outside of that,
Calvin Ridley.
Well, I want to get to that. The Titans also doing a thing that the Texans seemingly are cleaning up, which is penalties. Mm. 11 penalties, 113 yards. So in addition to not being good at football right now with a really piss poor quarterback, also penalized. And so it makes sense that they lost the game. But yeah, they also have big issues on their hands. Calvin Ridley, and there's audio here, Fig, seemed to be very displeased with what he felt like was a lack of involvement in the game plan. And so, yeah, Calvin Ridley, after the game in the media, dropping some bombs in letting people know that he's not happy.
I had targets in the what part of the game? I had targets?
Fourth quarter, a lot of them.
All right, then. So I need some in the beginning of the game, too. Then, like, getting crazy for me. So I'm just, you know, it is what it is. But I sucked today. It had to be better. But I got to get the ball a little early in the game so I could be in the game and here with the team so I could play well also.
Did you expect to get targets early? Just kind of
I don't know. We just, you know, we're trying to win the game. But
it is what?
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
I rest my case.
All right. Okay. I did appreciate that he had a little bit of a complaint sandwich because in the middle there he was like, I sucked and I need to be better. But also, we got to give me the ball earlier.
Well, how do you have 8 targets and 0 catches? Is it all Will Levis?
I mean,
it can't be.
If you were trying to pull up a quarterback that you would say could be
go
all
over
them. I feel like Will Levis puts up a good one, right? He is a good one to look at in that regard. I don't know, man. I can't really speak to exactly that. There is something to be said for the idea of, hey, man, why can you get these targets earlier in the game? I think that
that's a
fair point of that. I think, Calvin Ridley, 8 targets, literally 0 receptions. I understand some frustration there. But yes, you also did stake in this.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's the other part of this that is just interesting to me with the Titans. Again, Texans are in a good division to play in right now. They're coming off an off week. They were coming off
that.
A bye and couldn't win the game. And secondly, couldn't get a game plan. Brian Callahan, he's feeling the heat already. He was getting booed. Ridley didn't have those targets early, went 0 for 8 on the targets. Like, Dude, you come off a bye. That is a stinker.
Yeah, very stinky, and it probably only gets worse. They go to Highmark Stadiums in Buffalo next week, so they're facing off against the Bills. Not an easy team by any means. They could easily be 1-5 here shortly. On the other side of the football in that game, the Indianapolis Colts, they get a win, and they are your next closest competitor in the AFC South at 3-3, at 20-17, clearly the win. But they're still bad at stopping the run. They allowed, get this, 146 rushing yards to the Titans offense, 5.2 yards a carry. Richardson didn't play because his oblique was kept him off.
Yeah, but you know who did?
Modest day for Joe Flacco. Yeah. 28 for 38, 189 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. Mostly it was just timely connections with Josh Downs and Pittman deep down the field also when they needed it most, including a Pittman touchdown where he just kind of muscled it up.
Yeah.
And a jump ball. Pittman had a back injury, though, that he consulted with his dad on whether or not to play early on in this game. Obviously, his dad, Michael Pittman Sr., who played in the league, apparently gave him a level of advice on playing. He said, according to Pittman, if I felt like I could be effective, that I should play. And ultimately, he was pretty effective in this game.
Yeah, look, you do have to give the Colts credit for coming back in that game on the road and down. And making the plays to do it, but they've got their own issues, and who knows, you know, what Anthony Richardson's going to do, you know, when he comes back. Again, Texans are in a good division.
They are. Even if Richardson comes back, he is not really shown just yet early on in his career. Alec Pierce remains kind of an interesting deep threat. 4 targets, didn't get a reception. However, he drew a huge PI late that allowed them to go and win.
And the
this
Colts are
game.
Just going
to
be injured all year long, it seems like.
It does seem like that's the case. And they'll go up against another team that has an injured quarterback, Miami, next week and Sunday. So it'll be interesting to see if Richardson plays there. But no Tua there. He's not eligible to return until week 8. All right. That's around the AFC South. And the takeaway is Texans should not have to worry about this division hardly at all. Shout out to all these other jokers. All right. You're in the loop. Sports Radio 610 coming up next. Let's get into...
Shout out to the jokers.
That's right. Let's get into some of the negatives. It's a victory. 41-21, dominant one. However, you know, there's still some things that we can nitpick. And so let's get into the things that maybe we did not like in the 41-21 victory for the Texans. Nitpick Victory Monday. We'll do that next.